First of all, I mean, how are you?
I'm speaking to the doctor, the prof today at 11 o'clock. But I'm feeling okay, you know. So, you know, of course, you have your good days and bad days, but otherwise, hopefully, it's all worked. And you know, I'm still on the hormone tablet for another 6 months or 5 months.
Are you having to isolate yourself pretty carefully because of COVID?
Well, basically, I had to isolate for 2 days, but we haven't been told, you know, the normal thing, wear masks and that, and I can meet people and whatever. So I don't really have to isolate, you know, watch where I'm going or anything like that. No.
And you're feeling all right in yourself?
Yeah, you know, I go to the gym, so you know, I ride my indoor bike and that type of stuff. So, you know, I feel quite good. I haven't sometimes feel a little tired, but I think I'm just getting better and better, you know.
I want to chat about the 86 87 tour, a bit about your other two Ashes tours, and a bit about the forthcoming one.
Yeah.
That's the idea. I've listened to what, about half this podcast series of first four or five episodes, and people seem to describe it as like the best tour they ever went on. Is that how you remember it?
Well, you know, we sort of started off on, well, we didn't have proper openers, and we had to sort of, so, and then it started off really badly. But I think we sort of came to that first test match, and we all sort of got together. And I think the big thing, what I probably said before, was, you know, I spoke to Mike Gatting, and I said, you know, if you don't include David Gower in here, he's going to be a sort of bit of a lost soul, and he could, well, not upset the whole cart, you know. But you know, I think, you know, he was your captain, and I think you should bring him in. You know, and what they did with him and Mickey Stewart, they formed a senior group of people. Because not Gatting or Embry had toured Australia, we had toured Australia before, and I think that made a big difference. Deli coming on board, Edmonds, myself, David Gower. So I think, and also, they didn't make they made exceptions, which I thought was good because it didn't worry us. To me, making it, so we try to get in into. To bowl and do his batting and then get him out of there, do his fielding. Otherwise, if he hangs around there, he just messes up practice and he's throwing all the people and carrying on things. So, and David Gower, the same thing. So I think that part, I think, worked out really well. And I think the management handled that really good.
It does sound like it was Mike Gatting's first tour
Yeah.
as captain. It sounds like, whether by accident or design, he got quite a lot of man management issues pretty right.
Yeah, I think, listen, we told him that this is what was going to have to happen. I mean, in a way, really. So I think they took it on board, because if I was captain, I would have definitely done the same thing. Because if, you know, you're coming out, you got your ex-captain with you, and you know, he got bungled out, because we had played twice against the West Indies, which was not, no one was winning, beating the West Indies in the 80s in any case. So I think what happened, really good. But also, I think a big thing that happened was when it came to that first test match in Brisbane, the night before, we normally have a, like a dinner and a meeting, but I mean, those days there were no videos to see how people were batting and whatever. You know, we sort of get told or whatever. So there wasn't a proper batting coach or anything like that. And I think what happened was, that old Ian turned around and said, guys, right, this is it. We're starting now. We'll beat these Australians. And probably opened another bottle of red wine and proceeded to finish that. And then we took on the West, the Australians the following day.
The warm-up results have been really bad. You've had a lot of bad write-ups in the UK media, and presumably in the Australian media as well. But that didn't affect your self-confidence going into that first test.
No, it didn't. I think we pulled the wool over their eyes because they thought, my God, this site's in an absolute state. And Ian still, we still had the Australians. Ian had one over on the Australians, you know, because they all enjoyed him in any case and listened to him. And you know, he was sort of like a figure in the head that thought, oh, he's the problem, you know.
So as long as he was around, that there was that he was kind of just individually altered the morale and the.
Well, you know what? I think he was a threat because anything he could get a naught or he could get 100, or if he comes into bowl, you get a ball with the long hop or something. So, you know, I think the Australians always had this in their mind about Ian, how he can change a game. Yeah. And if they probably just said, listen, he was nothing and just carried on. But they had this in the background because the success he's had be against the Australians.
Yes. And throughout the tour, you didn't get any, your scores weren't particularly great throughout the test series.
No, I didn't. I think I got a 50 or something in the first test match or something? I think
43.
43 or something.
Yeah.
But didn't really get it right. If I may say so, I've got quite a few rough decisions from the left arm of Reed because those days we had neutral umpires. And that was also another thing, beating them with neutral umpires. You know, we didn't have neutral umpires.
Without neutral umpires.
And that was a big problem too.
Yeah. I just imagine for a sports person, in a team sport, if you're individually not contributing as you'd like, and that might get you down or it might not.
Yeah, okay, you know, listen, you know, I thank God everyone else is getting runs around me, so that does help.
Yeah.
But I had a sort of poor series for myself. I should have got plenty more runs because I should have been, you know, up in the top and get it. And it didn't quite work out that way.
So it seems to suggest that you're not a person with a massive ego. I imagine that that some batters, if everyone around them is scoring centuries, the wicket keepers coming in and getting runs and they're not, that would really hurt their pride and they would then have a miserable time and be miserable.
No, you know, we had great guys around us. So, you know, I knew the guys who I toured with the senior guys before. And, you know, listen, you know, it's one of those things you can work quite hard at your game, which we did, but unfortunately, I just didn't get on top of it.
Yeah. And you came into the series having just had a knee operation.
Just a keyhole surgery, yeah.
So there was no after effects of that. It was a
no excuses. I just didn't get the runs really.
Yeah. And socially off the pitch, have you got any kind of standout memories of being on that tour and of kind of you guys being, I don't know, creating memories together?
Well, no, listen, it started off when we did. I mean, we were enjoying life off the field than more on the field because, you know, we had played against Bundaberg bloody cane cutters up in Bundaberg and got walloped there. We went to the mayor's reception and David Gower got sick out the bus. I mean, all, you know, you probably heard all those things. So, and then I think we also in Bundaberg, there was we had heard that one of the papers had planted some women in our hotel and we got a tip off on that. So there were various things happening on that tour. And listen, of course, you know, we still had a good time afterwards. We, you know, we still did what we, but when it came to the games, you know, we tried to give our best, but we probably didn't quite get it right at the beginning. But I think when it came to the first test match, it sort of clicked.
So when you compare the 86-87 to 82-83 and 1991, what makes it stand out other than obviously the results?
Well, of course the result, but I think we should have really drawn that series or even won it, because if you remember, there was a guy called Dyson, John Dyson. He was run out by Bob Willis and by a yard. And the following day, there was a picture of the wickets going down, and there was just the bat. There was no, you couldn't even get the player in the photo. And I went to Mel Johnson, who was in Brisbane, you know, the umpire, and I said, great decision yesterday. And he just sort of refused, just didn't even bother speaking to me. So, I mean, that was no excuse. That was just a blatant cheat, really. Yeah. I nearly got into a bit of trouble about that, but I think, you know, we did really well against them, that side. You know, we had Cowans. We had sort of a fairly youngish side. And I think that trip was a really good learning spell. I think it gave me a lot more confidence. I mean, you know, I did all right in that series. I should have done better. I think when we came to play 1991, that was a real problem, because I think what happened is Gower and Gooch never really saw eye to eye. And then he got injured. I took over. I was getting loads of runs, you know, in the pre-games. I'd got a couple of hundreds before. And then the first game we played was at Brisbane. And myself and David Gower went out with Kerry Packer, who doesn't drink. But anyway, which unfortunately we didn't have a drink. And we went for dinner, and we got back, I think, because we went to the casinos. That's all in the papers. And we got back, I think, about 12:30. And David Dowd got out the night before to a real poor shot. And then I was batting. I was not out overnight. And I think Matthews bowled a long hop off stump, and I cut it to backward point. So I got out, and there was just a total collapse. So we lost that game. And I mean, all the blame went on me, because I had been, as captain, been up with Kerry Packer, which said I got in at 6:00 in the morning. But they were unfortunately a bit wrong, because we were with our wives and girlfriends in any case. And then it sort of went from there to then Graham coming back. And he had this, everyone had to sort of do all the fitness that Graham did. And listen, I enjoyed what he did. I think he was right. But unfortunately, him and Gower just didn't, and Atherton a little bit, they felt that with him coming in after being injured and then coming back and telling us what we had to do and whatever. I mean, I understood exactly what he was up to, which wasn't a problem with myself, but I think he upset a few others. And then Gower went up in that Tiger Moth, and they were going to send him home. He was on the way home. I had to sort of step in and say, you know, he's one of our best batsmen, and you know, we can't send him home. Gucci, it's only myself, you, and Gower have been getting runs, we're the three senior guys, and I was vice captain, and we didn't send him in, but we fined him, which I thought was a bit heavy. And he went and he wasn't going to play. He said his wrist was buggered. I knew. Listen, he was better with one hand than two with two hands going, because I just felt that he was the guy who's got runs in Australia before and did, and he got 100 in I think in Melbourne after that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was a real sort of a bad sort of feeling in the camp, you know. And I think that's, and the other thing what Australia did, I'll never forget, because when we arrived in Perth, Bobby Simpson had taken over. And he had said to the Australians, which I'd heard, that ignore the English players, don't even speak to them till after the series. And Gooch arrived when, I remember, in Perth, and he said, oh, he's just Alan Border, the Queensland were playing Western Australia. And he said, he's going up to see Alan Border. And I said, Gucci, forget about it, because I think these guys are going to give us the total block. And they blocked. So Gucci was a bit sort of upset about that. And they ignored us. They didn't even greet us. And that was their ploy, because what Bobby Simpson has said, they'd been too friendly with us before, because when Ian Botham was in the side, he was always joking and pulling the piss out of them.
Right.
So I think that's where it all changed. And that's why Australia had a lot of success, because they changed the way what Bobby brought a whole new system into them.
And the amazing contrast between, obviously, this current Ashes tour is COVID affected and unusual. But their build-up to the first test is a couple of games with the England A players, whereas you had weeks and weeks of games against, you know, anyone and everyone. What do you think is a better build-up? Did you have too much in 86?
No, not at all. I think that's what helped, because, I mean, the three sides we lost to, we're Kangoorlie and I mean the country sides, but I think when you played against the Shield sides, and I think that's necessary. When we toured in 82, I think that was a big thing. You went and played against the Shield sides. Yeah. And I think that's what happens now. They go on these tours and you don't play against the Shield sides anymore. Listen, I know with the COVID, but Brisbane is renowned for weather this time of the year. And they won't get a full test match there because of the rain. But I mean, I wouldn't have gone to Brisbane. I may have gone to Sydney, but I don't know what the COVID restrictions were, or Sydney or Melbourne. I know they couldn't go to Perth.
Yeah.
So, or South Australia, but it's difficult for those guys, and it's, okay, you know, you can practice as hard as you can indoors or outdoors on nets, but you really want to be in the middle of the wicket playing against Shield sides and bowlers. So it's going to be tough for them, really tough. But then again, Australia, under the same, they haven't really been playing any cricket themselves, some of those players, because they've been away. A lot of their players have been in that 2020, especially the bowlers. So for the bowling, I think these guys are headed straight on the button, Australian bowlers. We've just got to get it right with that Kookaburra, because that's a problem we have. If they're going to have that the night game with that pink ball, that could suit us, because with Anderson and Broad and those bowlers, we'll swing it. Yeah. I think we've got to go to a really tough task in beating them. I would say Australia be favourites, you know, unless our top three can fire. You can't rely on Root. I mean, Root's a fantastic, you know, world-class player, but we really need Malan to come to the party. I hope he bats three. He's got runs before. You know, the question mark, you know, who's going to be opening with him? I listen, if Crawley bats three, I think, who's the other? You've got Burns and
Hamid.
You see, I would play, you can't have two similar players. I would open with Crawley, because Hamid, I don't think, is going to handle the bounce.
Yes.
So this is going to be a big selection. I really think that Crawley's a bloody good player, but unfortunately, I think the advice he got wasn't that special when he was playing, and he went through a bad trot, really. but he's too good a player. I think if I look back, I mean, out of all those players coming through, I thought Crawley was the one who was going to really succeed. And I still believe that he can come back and I would open with him. Then you got Root at four. You got Stokes at five. And then, you know, you either can play, you know, you've still got Butler, but I mean, I think what Butler does, he's got to play his normal way. You know, he can't go and sort of play he's not that tight. He's a bit like Ian Botham, where but far better batter than Ian Botham, but he's a guy that's got to take you on and he's got to take the bowlers on. It's because as soon as he tries to play from a defensive cricket, he struggles. I don't know. Six. We got seven. The bowlers, I think, they're going to have to play with.
Robinson.
Robinson, definitely. You've got Broad, Anderson, and
Wood.
So the problem is, I don't think a spinner will really come into it. I mean, if they're going to bowl a spinner, what's the name?
Leach.
Well, I wouldn't play Leach. No. I not in Brisbane. I'd have to use Root left to bowl the off spinners.
Right.
Because normally your seamers win your games there.
Yes.
And we've got to remember, I don't think with the weather around, they're not going to go 5 days. The seamers are the people that are going to win the games in Brisbane.
Yeah. Yeah, I fear the issue is going to be taking 20 wickets in a match on a regular basis.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, we've got three very similar bowlers in our three, Anderson, Broad, and what's his name?
Robinson.
Who are the other bowlers we've got?
Hang on.
Mark Wood was one.
Yeah, Mark Wood. Yeah, we got him. There's another one, isn't there?
I will tell you. That's not a list.
Is it my the Lancashire? Did he get in?
That's the England squad and Ireland squad.
Yeah.
So there is Wokes who bowls, Craig Overton.
Yeah. See, that's all the same. You got Wokes. Wokes. I can't. Maybe Wokes could play with the pink ball, but I can't see him. I'd play Broad and Anderson definitely to start Robinson, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Overton, I think, and Wokes. So I would, okay, listen, if they don't use Stokes as a bowler, right, then I would say if they're going to use him a bowler, then you could bring in a spinner. But I mean, I don't think a spinner, they could either they'll play Overton or they'll play or Wokes. Then you've got nearly four same. The big problem they miss is also a left armer. You see, that's a big, if you've got a left arm in that side, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But unfortunately they don't have it. So it's sort of the same attack. You know, Wood's the only really one who can bomb you out.
Yes. Do you remember how long you were away for in that 86, 87?
We left in October, returned sort of end of January.
Because you had a one-day series tacked on the end.
And we had a one-day series. We had two one-day series. We had one at the beginning and one at the end.
Right.
And I think, listen, you know, of course things have changed. You want your families. I mean, we didn't, we had to pay for our families to come out if we wanted.
Oh, really?
We had to pay for the rooms. There was no rooms or anything, right. No air tickets, nothing. So if they came with the kids, it was basically your fee gone. Mm. And then what they used to do is try those that were single, you know, I put them in rooms that we could try get a room that we didn't have to pay for. We had to pay half for it or something. So, listen, they have it bloody easy now. I mean, you know, flying their wives business class, I mean, all over the bloody world, which is great. I mean, I'm not against it. If they seem to play better, seeing, you know, with their families around, then I'm all for it. But I mean, they've also got to realize that if their wives can't be there, you know, then, you know, you've got to crack on. You're playing for your country.
Yes. Do you remember who you roomed with?
I started off with Ian Botham, which is quite an experience for both of us, I think. And then I think on the first, I think it was with Daffy De Freitas and Whittaker. We had them. We had to blood them in. So
yeah.
I think I had Whittaker and De Freitas right. and both of them. I think that was 86, 87, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. De Freitas was with both, and that's mentioned in there.
Yeah, and I started off with Whittaker, and then it ended up me and the one wanted to share
with us. Right. And how was that?
What? Well, I mean, we got on. You know, we were good mates, so it didn't make any difference for us.
Really. Yeah.
And then I think Ian ended up having his own room,
right?
Because we thought that was the best.
Yeah.
And because the problem there was 86. It started off in Bundaberg, where him and I went into the bar at the hotel, and these Aussies were taking the piss out of him. You're a big fat bastard, you know, really giving him. And anyway, I said, Beefy, just relax here. He said, no, I'm taking that guy out. I've had enough. This guy was sitting in his chair, and he got up to sort of come straight to him. He walked up to him, and unfortunately, he gave him a little headbutt, and the guy went straight down. And I thought this was going to be one hell of a fight in this bar. And all of a sudden, his Aussies came up and bought Ian a drink. He said, that guy's an absolute prick. Well done, Ian. You know, you're fired. And all that stuff. Well, let me tell you, I thought that was going to be a monumental fight.
Hmm.
And then we just said it wasn't worth it. Every time we went out, he just got goaded, you know. So he said, we told him you can't go out anymore. And so we were the ones who said, listen, let's stick him in a big room and a suite. Or whatever, we called it the backroom cave, and people used to go and have a drink with him in there. Or if the guys went out, they'd come back and have a drink with him. But he didn't go out to the rest of the club. You know, if we did, if we went fishing or something like that, then fine. But he didn't go socially anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, I think in Perth, we managed to take him somewhere private. If it was a private thing, we were in Perth in that one day game. We went to Harold Cudmore, the White Horse. Remember in the America's Cup, we had a night out with them, which is
yeah.
That's when he went to bat. When he went out to bat without a bat,
you yeah. Remember
when to send the bat out to him this
bat. Yeah, yeah. But how important do you think? So after the night before the first test, and Ian Botham makes a great rabble rousing speech, and everyone's very pumped up, and then. You go into that first day of the first test and you end it on 198 for two. So had that first day gone wrong, had it gone south on that first day, I'm guessing that positivity might have disappeared. But like, how important do you think that first day was?
It was massive. I mean, listen, Ian, just everyone sort of looked at him and said, what's he talking? Yeah. Okay, we knew that this in the game start now. This was, you know, we're playing the test matches. We've got to really pull our fingers out, which was fantastic. And listen, got to say, Broad had a wonderful tour. I mean, you know, he was the saviour there also because, you know, having a guy just turn pumping out runs like he did, and Aussies could never work him out. They kept bowling on his legs. And all I had to do is bowl wide. And I only realized that at the end of the tour, to be honest. And then Bill Athey, who opened, Bill, you know, got stuck in too. He scored runs. So it took a lot of pressure off. And then I think did Gat go in? Was he three? Did he go
in? Three,
yeah. And then I think Gao went four, I went five or four, and Gao went five.
You were four. And you at the end of that first day, you were 40 knots out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was it. So, you know, we had a plan of attack because, and David was happy batting at five. So, you know, and also there was good on Gat, taking him out of the pressure of three. But we always thought Gat always should bat three. I mean, that was always a position for him.
That's where he batted in the middle sets, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, you know, we had the spinners and we had the spinners in Embry and Edmonds. So, and then Dilly was, listen, he had a bit of pace and could let the people know. I mean, then we had Daffy de Freitas. We had the bowlers, and then when Dilly got injured, I'll never forget, he got injured. And Gladstone Small was playing sort of league cricket, and we called him in to bowl. You remember? And he won the. I mean, he got a four or fiver, and won it because I remember he moved in with me in Melbourne.
Right.
I shared a room with him.
And why do you think it is that England have done so badly? Obviously, there's a period when Australia had a phenomenal team. But why do you think it is that England, why do you think it is that having won there, that England tends to do so badly in Australia?
You know, it's always that first test match. If you lose that first test match, it's so difficult to come back. So that's why it's so important, this test match, not to lose it. If you draw it, fine. If you take that side from the 90s, I mean, Warne was the big change. Warne, Ponting, they had great, Hayden, they had really good batting skills, and plus the bowlers, you know, they had good bowlers too. So I think we probably, if I look back at the sides that have gone out there, we've never, you know, for Strauss, the team when Strauss won was a good side. I mean, they got on top of Australia's. But I think the big thing is you're playing against Australia, you're playing against the nation. And I remember when we arrived in Australia, we arrived in Perth, I'll never forget, I think at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And the customs made us open all our cricket bags, take the boots out. Where's the bats made? Have you got borer beetle in them? Where's the soil? What's the soil doing on? Where's the soil? You know, they just pissed us about on purpose. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do that. They knew what the form was. But so we were there till like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, really. And then you walk in any of the streets of Australia, said, oh, well, you're going to get a bloody hammering, your pummies. Why don't you go back home and all this stuff? That's how Australia were, you know. But let me tell you, you can... In 86, 87, we got the Australian supporters. They were on sort of started supporting us because, you know, if Australia do badly, then they really can get up, you know, the Australian's nose, you know, the players' noses. So, I think it's also signs that you send out there. You've got to be competitive. You've got to have some hard players in there. That's why I would have taken, I think that taking that, Liam, what's his name? The guy from
Livingston.
I would have had him in that side because, okay, he's a similar sort of player to Josh Butler. But I mean, you need someone. You've got to be taking the Australians on, right? Mm. Get up their nose, and I think that's what it. You know, Ian got right up there. Everyone got up the Australians' noses. You know, we verbally gave them a much banter as they gave us. So. I mean, that's the big thing. Don't if you lie down, the Aussies will just walk over. You've got to play the game they play, and you've got to play it hard and really get up their nose.
Yeah. No, maybe Stokes will help in that. He's a big guy. Yeah,
I think without Stokes here, I would have thought, wow, you know. But I mean, Stokes, we need him firing on. So I hope he can bowl because he does bring a little bit different to you know, he'll can turn the game with his bowling as well. And Stokes won't lie down. And I think Root has got to get to his players, get right up their skins, give them some, just a much verbal, because Aussies will be giving them a load of chirp too.
Mm. It's kind of interesting. Obviously, it's 25 years. Is it 25 years after 80 or 30? I don't know. But England come into this having had poor results against India and New Zealand at home in the summer, as you did in 86, and largely being written off as a test team. So there are echoes there of your experience in 86, just whether the outcome's the same.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because everyone, I mean, Bumble's written them off, everyone's written them off. You know, I look at them, listen, they can win, because I think they have got a nucleus of the side there but they've got to be firing on all cylinders come first test match, and they've got to get right up the Aussie skins, and the Root's got to be aggressive as he, you know, really come in and get his boys fired up. If he doesn't, we can have a big problem. If we lose that first test match, I think we're over.
Mm. When you look back over your career, where does 86, 87, are there other tours that are up there with it? Or is that on its own?
You know what? The 91 tour to West Indies, that was the first time we ever beaten the West Indies. And I think I got injured. I did a calf muscle before it just happened in our warm-up. So when it came, I was fit for the first test match in Jamaica. And I think winning there, we had a very inexperienced side. We left Botham. Well, Botham wasn't going to play, but he would have, if he was picked, he would have. Gower, I think we should have had in there for the experience. But Uch and Stewart felt they didn't want him. I said, so really there was only three of us experienced in Robin Smith, myself and Uchi. I was vice captain. And I think, you know, we worked as a team. We worked very hard. We had a young side. And winning that, the first test match in Jamaica, first time I'd beaten West Indies in 20-odd test matches against them. Sorry. Right. And I think everyone, I mean, was so sort of chuffed when we won that game. So that one really sticks in my mind. And then also winning with David Gow in 84, when we beat the Aussies at home. You know, beating the Aussies at home in a way are sort of pinnacle in your career. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have won that series. We should have. Unfortunately, again, you know, no neutral umpires, and we had a shocking umpiring in the West Indies. And then you remember the West Indies bowled eight overs or nine overs in an hour. You remember Desi Haynes kept complaining about the runouts. I mean, we were chasing 110 or something on quite a dodgy wicket. That's when Gucci broke his hand. And it was a pity there, because, you know, I think if we hadn't been slowed down and that, we would have gone 2-0 up, and that could be a big difference. And then we won all. We went then to Barbados, and again, what's the name, gave, we had two bad decisions. And that really changed it. And then Smith and Russell tried to hang out, you know, in Barbados. And unfortunately, we didn't, and we lost that. And then we got bombed out. We had injuries. Smith played with a sort of a bone in his hand. He played in what's the name. That's when I thought Hussain was injured also. And that's when I said we should bring in Gower. But they didn't want to really do that. And so then the West Indies were on fire. I mean, Walsh and Ambrose and the boys really came in and fired us out.
Will you be watching this winter?
Of course. Yeah. No, listen, I always take a keen interest. You know, I still go. You know, the great thing was we were down in South Africa because I took a party out. I'd take people out to go and watch England. And funny, we would have been out there doing that unless it wasn't for the COVID and that. And, you know, when they won in Port Elizabeth, you know, I was there with a group of people, and they came and the route sent up Collingwood and asked me to come and join the team in the dressing room. So that was the first time I've ever been back into the dressing room since I finished in 92.
Yeah.
And it was great. I sat there, met all the guys, had a drink, celebrated with them. And then I said, they asked if I'd say a few words at the end, which I did. And, you know, it's a great experience. You know, everyone said, why? I said, well, you know, a dressing room is that's the inner circle of the players, and you don't go into that unless you've invited, you know. And you know, I think that the side is a great nucleus of players in that team, and you know, England lucky to have young players coming through as we've got at the moment.
Are you still in touch with teammates from that team? Are you do you count them as good friends?
Yeah, I mean, listen, David, we speak now and then. Ian, we both go shooting and fishing together. You know, Gladstone, I see him because he comes on, he works for another tour company. Yeah, you bump into the Embers, you see Gucci, I see now and then, you know, at the test matches or whatever. So I wouldn't say great mates, you know, I don't see every day, but I mean, we're still in touch. I mean, Desi Haynes, you know, if I take the big thing about it is touring, getting to know all these players. I mean, I speak to Tom A, he gives me a ring once a month or something, we'll have a chat. Dennis Lilly, he's always calling, he's a great friend. So we speak to Ambrose, who played with me. So, there's people all over the world, you know, you still stay in touch with, which are great.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much. I'm going to let you crack on with your day. Okay, but thanks for talking to me.
A pleasure.